You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Make some noise!
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we're talking about some of the crazy stories around MLS. Before we get to the actual games, we hosted a benefit, a gala.
We made it a gala
as soon as we walked in. Miami, are you going to get a team? Where's your team going to play? Because now all of a sudden we got some new breaking news that makes it seem a little uncertain. So and in Russia, the World Cup, the U.S. ain't going to be there, but you know what's going to be there? A little drugs.
A little bit of that white. Everybody's going to be riding their white horse to the games. In the second segment, we're talking about the first week in MLS. We're going to talk about how incredible did Toronto not look? How incredible did Giazzi Zardesco look? How about the man we gave a nickname to? How well did he play? So amazing. And also, unfortunately, we're talking about Atlanta and their funeral that they held in Houston. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hey guys, it's Juan Agudelo, New England Revolution's forward and U.S. Men's National Team forward, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Hey, everyone! Oh my goodness, I still got the energy of MLS, hashtag MLS is back.
You think at first week in MLS is giving you this excited new feeling? Is that what you're saying?
that's right. I'm rejuvenated. I was what was that JB Smoove was it? I think it was in Pootie Tang when he was like, or maybe Curvy Enthusiasm, I don't remember, but he mentioned that where he was rejuvenated, then he lost his rejuvenation, and now he's rejuvenated. So that's how I feel.
I'm glad full circle with all this rejuvenation. I did not think I was going to be as excited as I was. I was so amped for the first week.
I think
MLS.
Once the first game happened, I was already like, if this is how it starts.
Dude, it was so exciting.
Toronto, Columbus, and we already got an upset.
Columbus is like, we told y'all. We told y'all we wasn't fine. You better hope we got to move.
You don't want to stay in where we are.
Nah, son, look how comfy we are right now.
Because we're doing just fine. Yeah. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Cooligans, your favorite pair of stand-up comedians who host a soccer podcast. And this is not only the funniest soccer podcast, Alexis. This is also what?
It's the goddamn gulliest soccer podcast.
It is the gulliest. And there's been plenty of examples of gulliness, even in this first week of MLS.
Oh, there was so much gully.
it was exciting to see. I feel like we're influencing the MLS fans.
We're not only doing it for the culture. We're not only changing the culture. Homie, we are the culture.
We're setting the bar for the culture.
We are the culture.
That's Migos' new album.
All I want is Abubakar standing behind us at all times. Straight grilling everybody.
Dude, you say Abubakar. I think it's Abubakar. I don't know. Who knows?
You like saying it that way.
It feels right.
It's so wrong, Abubakar. But you feel right about it.
Abubakar. It's like where to put the tilde in Spanish. In that one?
I just want to also congratulate you and me for my getting everything wrong disease spreading to you now.
What did I do this time?
You just said Abubakar.
Oh, that's getting it wrong? Look, it's open for debate.
That gentleman says his name the way I said it. Abubakar.
Abubakar.
And you're like, I hear you, but I prefer Abubakar.
I'm just saying his...
We called him Babubakar for an entire episode. So, and that was also on you. So this is your kryptonite.
Well, I just want to commend him for his hair. I think he took the hair that Weekend got rid of and doubled it.
Yeah.
And he took his hair and added it to his.
He said, what if I take Roman Torres' hair and I put the Weekend's hair on top of it?
Because his hair is everywhere.
And he is, by the way, when he runs, it looks glorious.
It looks amazing.
And that dude is sliding all over the place. Yo, he is an incredible defender. I was surprised when Columbus picked him up, but hey. Worked out well.
Doing great. So, again, welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
And my name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together we are the Cooligans.
And damn right we are.
Like we said, yeah, we are pretty stoked about the MLS season starting up again. I mean, it feels different than before. I feel like this offseason was the littest MLS offseason I've ever seen. So it's
the littiest.
It ramped up perfectly into the beginning of the season, because it felt like if it was a bit of a concern that if we had this hot off season, you know, the Barcos and Barco getting injured, so that, like, you know, took away some of the steam from that steamboat.
Yeah, from that steam Barco.
So I was worried that the games wouldn't sort of live up to my expectation, and boy, oh boy, did they.
Boy, you were wrong again. By the way, I was on the same boat. You know, I was on the same boat as you. I was like, you know what? There's just too much happening, and this is not going to work out well. Sometimes international players take a year to get, like, to find their groove. They don't get their groove back like Stella until a year later, you know? And, oh, no, they came in swinging.
So, look, we're going to get to all the games because – I mean, the elephant in the room is that scoreline in Houston.
You were about to say me. You son of a bitch. I saw it in your eyes. Everyone listening knew you were going to do
it. Nobody knew.
You hesitated. I saw it in your eyes. No, you got a twinkle in your eye. You started to smirk. Son of a bitch. Admit it right now.
I'm going to be completely honest. I was not going to say it, but you are, your hyper awareness. You have a fat joke, you know, hypersensitivity, constantly looking. You're like, where is it? It's coming. I know that they're after me.
I keep my ear to the streets, and I keep my ear to the fat jokes, all right?
No, I was not going to say it.
You were. I saw the look in your eye. That's how you started laughing right away. Don't let this man lie to you,
I
fans.
Have never had an issue making a fat joke, especially to you.
No, certainly have not.
Why would I lie about this?
I feel like right now you are.
No, I meant the what I was referring to was Atlanta United and and boy, oh boy! So we'll get to that.
Jeez,
that's all we can really say. But let's get to a couple things that happened,
and we'll talk about it because I don't think it's as bad as everyone thinks it is.
Oh, I do. I think it's worse.
Oh yeah, I know you do.
So
I'm trying to keep our fans that bad. No, I honestly don't think it's that bad.
Let's talk about a couple things before we get into the games. We did a really cool thing that we were really excited about and got to be invited to. We got to host a soccer benefet, a fundraiser.
A gala, if you will.
There were some people with ties, some people without.
Yeah, me and you were without.
But I mean,
we ain't doing all that.
We say gala because there were people who were legitimately billionaires there. So as soon as billionaires are there, it's a gala.
Yeah.
If a billionaire walked into this room will be it's a gala all of a sudden.
Yo, I went to the bathroom to go pee. All of a sudden, it became a gala. It's a gala now.
So we got to host the Met Oval benefit, which is a...
If you guys don't know, Met Oval is... It now just became an academy. It's officially an academy for, I believe...
For U.S. soccer.
U16, U17?
Something like that.
Yeah. So it's officially an academy. But before that, it was a pitch in a park in Queens that the German-American League the German-Hungarian League, like way back in like the 30s or 40s, decided to build. No one paid rent on it. And then the city was like, hey, wait a minute. Y'all built this like field.
You got to pay some taxes,
but
dog.
Come on, now you owe us money. That's city land. And they obviously didn't have that money. It was just like a place where, like a dirt patch that people went and played after a while. And a couple people took over it. They started training some kids. We talked about it. It is... partially pay for play, but that money also sponsors a ton of scholarship kids that are from low-income families here in New York City, so it's like a really positive story. Justin Hawk, who a lot of people called Cavani, who came in for a preseason game at NYCFC, a really young kid. I think he's 16, 17 years old, really long hair, which is why everyone calls him Cavani, even though he's a defender.
And his face is also Cavani's face.
Yeah, he also has Cavani's face. He also plays for PSG, so, and he's very Uruguayan. He was drinking mate on the field, and you know that's not allowed. But he's one of their success stories, and there's more, and apparently very popular academy in New York City.
Yeah.
They asked us to be a part of their gala for their fundraising. This is their next round of fundraising, and this money goes towards those kids who can't afford to pay that money.
Exactly.
And so, it's for the coaches and whatnot.
Yeah. So it really did feel like, you know, we've been around soccer for the last essentially 3 years. 75 years. But yeah. The last 3 years in essentially in the very professional side.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
But this was seeing what happens at the academy level. I mean, we were just around like soccer moms and soccer dads, like trying to, you know, keep the game alive and support their children. And these are very wealthy people, but it was
some of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
The people that were there, the intention was, put up some of that guap. You know, you
got. We know you got guap.
We know you got guap because you're
so
here.
So welcome to this gala. Thank you for making it a gala, first of all, and second of all, why don't you take so much money out of your pocket that this is no longer a gala?
Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's interesting because we were, you know, at least for me, I know when they asked us initially, you know, a lot of the debate when we were having, when we were talking about the U.S. soccer, the presidency and pay to play was like a big deal. And
right.
So we talk about it, but we never really spoke to like the parents and the academy people. And
we
like,
never went inside the pay for play system. We broke in.
So, but getting to hear their experiences and what it's like and really how much of a struggle it is to keep an academy afloat.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of volunteer work. It takes a lot of donations.
Right. I want to make sure before we continue this conversation, for those of you that are listening that have this one thought in your mind, we agree with you. If solidarity,
that
payments,
Alexis is fat. I'm kidding.
Okay.
You were thinking about
it. Finally came out.
Because just so he could be like, I told you so, everybody.
Oh, you didn't need to do that. I knew it all along, guys. I you know what? There's video of this, and I don't know. I might zoom in on his face right as he says that statement before, because I'm telling you, he had the smell of a very evil man. What the solidarity payments? If they were a part of the system, these events might not necessarily be necessary. I don't know if that's a proper statement.
No, yeah,
might not necessarily be necessary.
Yeah, or it might not. They may not be as important.
They may not. Yeah, they. It wouldn't account for so much of what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And there were some people that came out that were really gracious. And let's be honest, some of these rich people's kids, they're not going anywhere. All right, this is a chance for them to not start doing prescription drugs. You know what I mean? Like that's the only reason.
I wish you wouldn't have said that at the gala, but.
I want to thank you, parents, for giving your kids an after-school, activity. But for some kids, rich or not, this is a big opportunity for them. And these types of fundraisers mean that more kids that maybe can't or coaches that financially are hamstrung and may not be able to sit there and pay as close attention to the children and focus on their training can now do that. So, wonderful story for us. Wonderful for everybody involved.
It was cool.
Let's get it.
It really did feel like we were trying to contribute whatever we could to that growth of the game at the youth level.
And can I tell you how excited people were that we were there? Like when we got up to do stand up, I would say at least 10% paid attention.
They couldn't care any less.
No one knew who we were. They knew my shirt was from Old Navy. They could give a fuck. But you know who all the soccer moms who were there by themselves that night, dancing up a storm, they cared greatly.
Yeah,
Luis Robles came on stage. Oh my God.
They were very supportive of that young man.
Oh my God. They were slipping off their seats. They were so wet. It was embarrassing for some of these women. Thirsty.
No, I don't. I support their, however they want to express their support for Luis Robles, go for it. It's fine. We need.
You would have thought he played for Thirst Trap FC.
It was great. But Luis Robles.
Were they eating oysters before he got there? It was
a little aphrodisiac.
Shocking.
I mean, Robles is an aphrodisiac for everyone,
His wife was on call the whole night. Somebody came up to Luis like, so what do you play for? And she's like, he plays for the motherfucking New York Red Bulls.
You better step off. Yeah.
And he ain't going to play with your feelings. He don't give a shit about you at all.
So it was cool. Luis Robles was there.
What a sweetheart.
The nice dude in the world, and we were telling him, we're like, dude, we want to hate you, man.
He treated us the way, the exact opposite of the way that New York Rebel fans treat us. I mean, he was so warm and just
incredibly
a great dude.
He was not only kind, but I would go as far as this: he was inspirational.
I would say not only was he inspirational, but he was life changing.
He was so supportive and nice, and he thought we were funny. We were making him laugh. He was making jokes back.
He made jokes
at us. We're having a good time.
We ended up out of nowhere. So the thing was like a silent auction, right? And there was like, you know, the owner of Crystal Palace was there, and he was giving away, like, you know, he also owns the 76ers.
There yeah,
was
like the tickets to, yeah, like
courtside seats. Courtside seats. And the president's box.
Autographed jerseys from NYCFC, from Red Bulls, from of vacation in Costa Rica.
Davi like Villa's autographed jersey. Davi Villa's boots.
Boots, yeah.
Game-worn boots, cleats, whatever. The whole nine, right? Luis Robles not only showed up to the event, he brought with him two autographed jerseys. One, the home kit, signed by everybody.
The entire
signed
team.
By everyone on the team.
Even the OGs, even Klaschen, even Felipe.
Klaschen was on there. Felipe was on there. Kaku was not.
Kaku was not. Yeah, whatever.
Well, you know, he got the shirt before he showed up. Again, announced Kaku already. I know they did. And he brought the away shirt, the long sleeve shirt. Tyler Adams' jersey.
Autographed.
And if you flipped it on the back.
Tyler
his
Adams'
signature was on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And people were excited about it, but we got to do.
But he helped us with the auction. We
did a live auction for these, and also a signed Davi Villa kit, which was
and
funny.
A signed Davi Villa shirt.
Which I have a photo of Luis Robles holding a Davi Villa kit, which is just right. Hilarious.
Yeah, and he looked not happy to be holding it. He played along with the whole
but
thing.
But he was again.
Awesome.
He more than anything, when we told him we were like, hey, you know, we're NYCFC fans. He was just like, look, dude, as long as you guys support soccer, I'm cool with you.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he took it too far when he hit us with a sandwich board.
Yeah, you know I mean he didn't need to.
A little step too far.
Why is there a sandwich board at this gala?
Also, I can't believe that's only how much a sandwich costs as I'm on the floor. I'm like, my God, I would have ordered that minutes ago at this gala.
At these prices? They're so affordable.
Is it the rent? How are they doing it? So it was just he actually helped us with we didn't know we were going to live raffle. They asked us to kind of like, kind of
live
be the
auction.
MC.
Live auction. Don't say live raffle.
Live raffle. I mean, this is a gal. This isn't a trick or treat. You know? Although you're not allowed to say trick or treat anymore. No, wait. Now you can say trick or treat. You can't say Chinese auction.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Trick or treat. I'm like, what's? I'm like thinking, what's the slur there? And yeah, then you added the other one. And I'm like, oh, okay, I see.
I see what that replaced. Yeah, Chinese auction is apparently offensive when you do it, not saying it. So I can still say it on this podcast, Chinese auction. But Tricky Trade was what replaced it. Anyway, it was a silent auction where everyone wrote their names down and how much they were bidding for all these things. But to kind of get the spirit going of people spending more money, they were like, yo, let's do a live auction. And I can't remember the lady's name, Gail maybe, came up to us and she was like, here, just kind of gave us two jerseys. She's like, come meet Luis Robles.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, look, the jerseys are autographed. Everyone was really nice and sweet. Shouts to Cindy Capone. Shouts to Jeff Saunders for putting us on there. But Luis Robles was like, yeah. Well, I'll help. And he just kind of gave us the shirts. And we're like, no. Get up on stage.
You got it.
We called him up on stage. He came up. He gave like a really cool speech about how much it meant to him to have
parents that were like that supportive of soccer, how important
and how
like,
hard it was for them to make ends meet to put him in those, you know, those things and how people came to his rescue and that he needed them, those people in that room to come to the rescue of some of those kids. And it was great. And then we ended up getting like close to $1,000 for each jersey right there in that moment. Actually, we got $1,700.
Yeah. For the one autographed by the entire team.
The team one. And someone, I got it up to $1,710, right? We got it for $1,700. Yeah. We got someone to bid $10 more. Again, I'm trying to start knife fights out there. And Luis Robles, out of nowhere, goes, hey, the guy who bid $1,700, were you really going to pay $1,700? He was like, yeah. He goes, would you pay $1,700 if I got you another one? It's like, yeah. So he donated, like, I think two other ones.
Yeah. He said he's going to get him another one. I mean, how thrilling was I've never hosted a live auction.
I've never been anywhere near
it. It is the most thrilling thing you've ever experienced in your life. I highly recommend it to everyone.
Everyone got
to
host an auction.
You got to host an auction because
first, get yourself a gala. All right?
Well, I mean, and that might be a little tough, but when there's a bunch of people that are that have all this money to essentially not throw away, I mean, they're doing a good thing, but so much disposable income to be like that, we can just point at somebody and they're willing to spend $1,500. I want that power.
One of my favorite moments was, you know, in an auction. Now, look, I don't know. I've never been to an auction, but I've seen enough of them on TV that sometimes people just like touch their nose.
They
and
just
that's a bit,
slightly scratch. Yeah. Like,
there's like a little thing like they
you got
grab,
something
like,
in your eye. You scratch your ear and like, oh, that's it. Yeah,
$50,000 for this rug. You're like,
oh my God,
I was blowing my nose.
It's my allergies.
I picked my nose.
allergies.
It's dry as fuck in here, man. I can't afford that. What do you got? Steam heat? What kind of shit is this? But like, there was a lady. Clearly one of the moms thought it up Right, I know you, would never admit it.
You are the worst.
You would never say it. Yeah, she was tied up in a positive way. This is me. I'm not shaming you for being
what
a thot.
What is the point
but
of it?
This lady was
they look good
to the hills.
Oh,
yo.
My goodness.
She was, as far as you, the eyes can see, she was thotted. And so she was wearing, like, it looked like a dress that someone had, like, cut panels out of, right, all over her body. It was fine. Look, fine.
I
she looked very respectful.
You guys are learning.
Her kids definitely would not be
You
upset.
Guys are learning how staunch and conservative Mr. Guerrero's is.
Never. I support her thoughtness. We just got to be able to call it thought a thought. That's all I'm saying. A missed shot is a missed shot. A goal is a goal, whether it's beautiful or not. All I'm saying is a thought is a thought is a thought is a thought. And this lady, she walked in looking like a thought.
Okay.
Right? But also, beautiful dress. She wore it well. Even if she didn't, who gives a shit? She was having fun. She looked great. She felt confident. Go for it. I didn't say it to her face, by the way. I'm just saying it to the millions of fans we have. Anyway, she held up her phone at one point to record us.
Yeah.
And I was like, $1,800. And she was like, no. She looked at me like, no. And she was like putting her hands down. She started like river dancing, like hands up by her side. And she's like, absolutely not.
Oh, man. It was a lot of fun. And it was cool to have that experience, especially in the soccer world. Well, it's
I love when Luis kind of like gave us a, like a, he like fucked with us. He's like, I thought you guys were supposed to speak fast.
Oh, yeah, but like at an auction, which is like, all right. Well,
yeah, and I was like, all right, slow down. I go, by the way, buddy, I mean, relax. You're a goalkeeper. You don't even sweat that much. I was like, I'm sweating more than you do during a game.
It was fun, though. So
he took the jokes back and forth. It was a lot of fun.
It was awesome. Good.
And we're going to try to get him on the podcast. You know, maybe some Rebel fans will be like, oh, maybe we shouldn't curse their name on Twitter every day. Yeah. Or maybe they'll hate their goalkeeper now. And by the way, I didn't, even though I wanted to, I didn't make the joke about him being captain. And getting traded or getting sold.
Oh, how gracious of you. Wow.
I mean, look, I could have. His wife was just a doll, though. The whole family is wonderful people.
Great time. So, we did that. And so, again, before we talk about the games, a couple, two quick things in MLS news because, you know, we had an episode a couple weeks ago about Miami and Miami Beckham United. And about how they had, you know, they did a whole event, you know, confirming that they were the team was coming to Miami.
Here it comes. All the plans are set. Nothing's going to change. Miami Club de Balompié.
So everything's all set. And now in the Miami Herald, a article written by Douglas Hanks and Joy Flechas, Joey Arrows, in Italian. So he... they mentioned that they might be looking to move the site of where the stadium is to closer to the Miami airport as opposed to the Overtown site that they already had in place. And it's looking like the reason is that they feel that the Moss brothers are thinking that the site might be too small for how, like, either how large the stadium is going to be, or I think they also there's no like parking. So that might be an issue as well. So again, we seem to have a preemptive, you know, announcement of for the Miami team, and it's looking like it's not as clear as we thought it might be.
I mean, look, I'm looking at a map of Miami right now. Miami Airport, it's not far from Hialeah. Shouts to all my family out there. Lil Cuba. I know nobody calls it that unless we're being disrespectful to you.
Does any of your family listen to this?
Probably not.
Shouting out.
They're Cuban. You think I'm conservative with my thoughts, buddy. You should talk to them. Look, it's not in downtown Miami. It's not close to anything. It's over by Miami Springs Golf Course, which is part of the article. You know, it's in the middle of nowhere, and it's a space where people are going to have to drive to. And, you know, I also noticed that there's a neighborhood called Flagami, which is just
delicious. I love Flagami.
Yeah, that's how I know I was sick. I had a little bit of Flagami. and they also have a Brownsville. Shout out, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I think I'm using my New York sort of idea of what I would want a stadium or like a Eurocentric feel to say that would be good for Miami to have it in the middle of like Overton or Overtown. Where it's more city-like and you can walk to the stadium, but that's actually not Miami's culture. So is this a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
I mean, it's not that much farther from...
No, you have to think of this in Miami.
Yeah, I mean,
Do you go to Miami a lot?
I've been there, what, three times?
No, then you don't go. All right, so
I mean, I've been to South Beach, so I get it.
You've been to South Beach? Then you've met six Cubans your entire life. The distance between Miami Airport and downtown Miami is crazy with traffic. It's just a world away. It honestly, understanding that is the same as understanding why New Yorkers don't go to Red Bull Arena. Or I'm not saying none of them go. Obviously, clearly a lot of people do. But why a lot of New Yorkers, who maybe who are casual fans or are thinking of picking up the idea of being a soccer fan but aren't sure, would probably prefer to go to Yankee Stadium, even if they live in like Queens or Brooklyn, versus going to Jersey.
It just feels farther.
It just, not only that, it's like psychologically so much farther. It's like, I don't know anyone over there. I don't want to go over there. Mm-hmm. Like, I have friends that moved to Doral, and that's a little bit further out of the way. And people in Miami are like, oh, that's it's another state, you know?
Yeah.
How dare you go to on the highway for more than 10 minutes and actually driving? You know what I mean? Like, that to them is very far. So if someone's listening to this podcast that knows a lot about Miami, how would you feel about Miami Airport? I would not be happy about it if I lived in downtown Miami, but none of y'all live in downtown Miami. Y'all live in the burbs.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, do you think Miami fans should feel a little, not misled, but like, I don't know, a little bothered by this, that it's not as sort of secure as they thought it would be?
I mean, who thought it was secure?
I mean, you know, they had a whole...
Even Beckham was like...
they had a whole show, right? Yeah. I mean, it seemed like a big deal. They seemed pretty certain.
Celebrate good times, come on. We don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah, it's just it's a shame that after all they've already been through, that they sort of adding more room to ridicule them for, like, not having things, like, kind of set in stone.
But let's be honest, though. This is the first thing that's come up about them other than that gala that they held. They didn't have a gala.
I mean, we know galas now, so we know.
Buddy, I could sniff out whether it's a gala or not. I want to be so successful that when I walk in a room, it becomes a gala. That's what I want for Cooligans.
That is the hope, yeah.
Whatchamacallit? I don't know. This is the first time that, like, news is broken about what's happening over there that wasn't necessarily negative. This is about them needing a bigger space. That's, I mean... I'm sure the fans are like, oh, thank God.
Maybe,
you know.
Okay. I mean, maybe it's a good sign. Maybe they want to put a little bit more effort in what the stadium looks like, or maybe they have bigger plans than they originally anticipated. But it's sort of a shame, that's all, that this happened to begin with. So let's move on to one other thing, and then we'll get to our second segment, and we'll talk about the games.
Let's do it.
World Cup. Coming up.
It's going to be lit.
It is going to be quiet because there was some news that...
Putin's like, y'all hate me? How about this? Y'all party all you want.
So there was some news that came out recently. And I don't know. I think this is sort of just a rule in Russia to begin with. But they announced that World Cup fans will be allowed to have marijuana, cocaine, and heroines in stadiums, and they'll be allowed
heroines
and heroines
and multiple heroines,
which is Wonder Woman, yeah, but another female superheroes.
You're like, I have Gal Gadot. I'm like, okay, yeah. Well, that's only one. So, but is it Gadot? Gadot.
It's Gadot.
I think we're making that up. She's Israeli. Why would they say it in French?
I mean, I've always heard it,
like,
as Gadot.
Alessandrini. No, Alessandrini.
Oh yeah, that's I mean, that's when I heard him say his name, and now I'm thinking, I'm like, oh yeah, he obviously is French, but clearly has an Italian last name, which is...
Or an Italian-looking last name. They're both romantic languages, so they have romantic. Well, actually, they are both romantic languages. I wasn't wrong, fat shamer. They're romance languages.
It was just, I mean, they're different words. And they mean
you're right. I wouldn't have said Romanian is one, and that is a romance language. But have you ever heard a Romanian person speak?
He is
nothing romantic.
I don't know how many... His last name is clearly of Italian, like... heritage or descendants.
You don't know that.
I don't know.
They're
that.
Both. The languages are from the same root, the same core.
But Alexis,
you're just saying that because it ends in a vowel. Disrespectful.
No, but you don't meet many Drinis or Maldini in France.
Yeah, you do. You meet one, Romain Alessandrini.
Anyway,
and he actually doesn't even pronounce the A. He's like, hello, this is Romain Alessandrini.
Yeah, it was just a very strange word. I'm like, it didn't sound like he was saying, we posted it on Twitter. It didn't sound like he was saying his own name correctly.
No. We're like, I wonder what he's saying.
Like, bro, you don't even know your own name. We got to correct you.
He's being mad disrespectful about somebody. Oh, no, that's your own name? Oh, shit.
It was like, it's weird, and it feels like this, you know, American arrogance to be like, hey, you're saying it wrong, bro.
Yeah. We know your name, and that's not
okay,
it.
Okay, we say it. We tell you how to say your own name.
Why don't you say it this way?
Okay, you're going to be Romaine Smith going forward. Get used to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're starting center forward for whatever winger for your Los Angeles Galaxy. Romaine Lettuce. All right, is everyone happy now?
It's a lot easier. Okay, all right, so less letters on the jerseys. We're gonna save some money.
We're saving money. It's what it's all about.
So Russia is going to be allowing these drugs, but I think the headlines sort of get a little loose nowadays because people want people.
Well, it's clickbait. Everybody was like, just tell them you could do blow in the stands.
You could do it. Just if a ball gets in the stands, just. Toss it right back, but make sure clean the blow off of it.
Clean some blow off of it, will you? You know what? We're bringing players into the stands to do blow with you.
No, but the stipulation is in Russia that you can bring drugs to I guess events or different places, but you need a prescription for your heroin before you walk around.
Oh, this is street heroin.
Oh no. This is Mother Russia.
No, I mean for an ailment maybe, but not.
But you can have. It seems strange, just in itself, that you can get a prescription for cocaine in Russia. Which is
what is the issue? I think it's doing too much heroin. Hey, we got to bring this guy back up a little bit.
It's like you go, hey doc, can you get me? I need a prescription for some cocaine. All right, okay, look, okay,
great idea.
Yeah. I got you. Okay, all right, I went to medical school, boy. Very long time. Okay,
yeah. Pass me a tissue. My nose bleeding.
Oh, I got some blood a little bit on your prescription. Just tell the pharmacist, just like ignore it.
No, that's not blood, baby. That's my autograph. Yeah, you need me to sign for you.
That's gonna be worth money, okay? That was
great. Also, what do you think of this app?
So, ridiculous, but I think it's gonna, you know, I don't know how many people are actually gonna be bringing drugs.
Well, I want to say this hasn't been announced, but we have a source. We want to let everyone know that this now means Diego Maradona's going to the World Cup. He will be there. He's got nothing but prescriptions.
Not only do we have a source, we got a plug. All right.
We got the plug.
We got the plug. You need that World Cup
In fact, it's Dr. Maradona to you. This guy writes prescriptions for himself.
Sour D's. Yeah. Purple, I don't know, drugs. Purple.
Everybody rolling on a bean.
Smoke that perp. He's not a rapper.
Yeah. Lil Perp.
No, I think it's Smoke That Perp is his actual.
No, Smoke Perp is another
Smoke
one.
Perp. Okay. There's two. Oh, there's Lil Perp.
And Smoke Perp.
All right. Lil Perpetrator. Anyway. Okay. So I think it's going to be just kind of insane. Obviously, some people are going to. Bring drugs. I mean, if you say
people are gonna bring drugs. Look, also that means there's gonna be like the Barra Brava in Argentina is like, oh, prescriptions, and they are allowed.
Okay,
this is gonna kill our profit.
Let's fire up the prescription, printer.
Yeah. Who's gonna tell me this isn't a prescription?
So
your prescription is for three keys of cocaine. Uh huh. I'm very sorry.
So your prescription is for that work. Yeah. Interesting.
Your prescription is for sitting in a hotel waiting for the guap to show up.
Hey, you know, who are we to deny 40,000 fans their prescription? We don't have time to check all of these.
I mean, this doctor who has a gun to my head is clearly here to help people and not just watch soccer.
So it's going to be nuts. It's a shame the U.S. is not going to be there to, you know, take part in some of those drugs.
Christian Pulisic really turned a corner in his career.
Yeah, people, you know, just players playing with cocaine bags in their stomach. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, you are so much faster than we remembered, but you seem to get gassed at halftime and bring it right back up. I don't know how that works. Also, you took a shit on the field.
Hey, man. But you got us the result. It's perfectly fine. All right. So let's take a quick break, and we'll talk all these MLS matches. We'll try to get to all of them. They were all incredible.
The first week was absolutely
First week, what a great
maniac!
Great
level.
First week. If you're not watching MLS, you're doing it wrong.
I mean, what are you doing? You're not in a gala. You know what I mean?
You're missing out on all the galas. All right,
buddy.
All right. So we'll get to all the MLS games right after this.
When we show up in our event in Atlanta, we're just gonna walk and be like, guess what? Now it's a gala. Yeah, baby, thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. We're just going to break with a little message
from our
sponsors, which is us.
which is us. The Gulliest shirt. The Gulliest t-shirt. Our newest t-shirt is available right now for pre-order. They're gonna start shipping this week. You can still get a discount. If you want to look fly, you want to support the Cooligans, we're doing this. It's basically charity.
We're giving you a discount on a pre-order. The discount's going to go away when the shirt finally arrives and the whole public can get it. And by the way, we've had to order additional. We love you guys for pre-ordering it, but we want you to know there's still more. You can still continue to order. We're just going to add more to the order once we order them from the factory. So you go ahead, buy yourself one. Why wouldn't you want to? It says Gulliest on the front. We got a couple Easter eggs, which you've seen. We got the Cooligans logo on the arm. Nobody got that.
It's looking fly.
It looks dope.
So make sure you support, if you're a fan of the show, support the Cooligans by rocking the tee, man. It'll really mean a lot to us. So go to onthevalleyapparel.com and you can see. You can click on men's or women's tee, and you can click on a t-shirt and pick one up. Do it.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Mike Coscarelli from Anxiety Now.
And Andrea Allen from the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
We just launched the brand new OG Podcast Network and wanted to let you know that you can hear ours and other great shows by going to ogpodcastnetwork.com.
Also, be sure to follow the network on social media to keep up to date with new shows, videos, and live events.
That's at OG Podcasts on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Or you can subscribe to your favorite OG podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
Oh, we're back. Oh, man. So, I mean, let's, we keep talking about how crazy of a start it was, but it really, and the reason it was is because everything that we expected to happen did not happen.
No, nobody. Who picked these games? Nobody. We follow, what is it, MLS John or MLS Johnny, the guy who bets, the gambling dude?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's MLS Johnny.
And he was like, oh, if this team scores another goal, I'm putting my money on this. And, you know, his Twitter was like either on fire or he stopped tweeting at one point. Because he was just like, everything's all over the place.
Because he just broke his phone.
Yeah. He's like, this is too much happening.
Oh, but, man, look, let's get right to it. And really, this was the game that was the biggest surprise because, again, the hype train, the Kool-Aid that everybody's offering, this peach flavored Kool-Aid.
Oh boy, the king peach flavored Kool-Aid.
No, I mean, Atlanta United should not start the season like this based on their signings, based on the season that they had in their inaugural year. It's just insane. From the beginning, as soon as the whistle blew, they looked
awful.
They
got Atlanta'd. They got Atlanta. What Atlanta was doing to teams last year happened to them. Now, let's also say this was the first game of this season.
Yes.
And you were going up against the team that finished last year on fire, decided to buy nobody, but they're players that are really good.
And also, they sold Cubo Torres, right?
Which he didn't do much. I know he scored some goals, but he wasn't doing much.
Mm-hmm.
But he was kind of like a little bit of a black hole on the field there because you would pass him the ball and you would feel the need to sort of feed him. You got Albert Elise and you got Kyoto who were out there doing.
And Manotas was the one.
Manotas,
I mean, he got
is
two
a
goals.
Monster.
He looked amazing.
I had him on my team and I ended up dropping him for Ola Kamara.
On your fantasy team?
On my fantasy team. Yeah, no, on the club that I own.
We should clarify.
Yeah, on Double Cheeseburger
that,
FC.
That I don't host this show with Wilmer Cabrera.
No, you know. So I got much better hair. But he, this was an opportunity for the three of them to shine. And Manotas is coming into the part of his career where it's like, look, you've shown these the flashes of brilliance. Go do it every game. Go do it 90 minutes.
And look, and as much as good as Houston was, we have to highlight how terrible Atlanta were defensively. So first goal, I'll start with this. In the preseason, Atlanta didn't look as amazing as I think I thought. I thought I was going to see, right? You know, they didn't play too well against Columbus. they didn't play. I forget who else they played, but there were just a couple games that they just like what you wanted to see that brilliance. You wanted to see Nagby have that chemistry with Almirón and Villalba and everybody. And Villalba was hurt in the preseason, but you wanted to see that, and that was not present. But
no.
More than anything, and look, Atlanta United Twitter is already crazy, and they've been talking so much about
they're mad emo too.
And they're not.
Mad emo. I always say, look, I would have been sad too. This was the first.
It's a lot.
This
look,
is their first breakup.
When NYCFC had that 7-0 to the Red Bulls. I mean, look,
you get emotional. I was very emo.
It was difficult. You know, that was the most emotional I'd ever been at a sporting event in my life.
I'm not saying I didn't recognize what they were going through. All I'm saying is they were going
but
through.
But the thing that Atlanta United was crazy about, even in the preseason, were their defensive issues and their lack of a after losing Carlos after selling Carlos Carmona.
They've
and,
got no DM.
So, and I was like. What, like, I didn't, look, I'm not as invested in Atlanta United as people in Georgia are, right?
Right.
But when I was looking at sort of the concern, I'm like, oh, come on, guys. They're going to be fine. They were great last year.
Tata Martino, baby.
Tata, everybody, what are you talking about? You guys are crazy.
Yeah.
And boy, were they right.
Yeah.
And look, raises a lot of concerns. For that defensive mid, they started Chris McCann and Darlington Nagby.
Well, Darlington Nagby's like, all right, why don't the 10 of y'all defend? And I'm going to just stand right where I am.
I'm just going to make sure our possession percentage is really high.
Yeah, in training, he's like, how about this? All right, everybody who came here on a private jet, raise your hand. You don't have to defend. Oh, am I?
Oh, okay.
Just me? All right. Well, then you guys go be cute. Oh, back there.
But they looked like they really went into this game expecting to win, and they got bossed, man. They really got embarrassed.
And here's the thing.
But more than anything, just defensively. And look, we can blame.
But it's not LGP's fault.
It is. Very much.
No,
LGBT.
It ain't. And let me tell you why. First of all, not a natural center back, more of a winger, right?
You think he's a wing back?
Yeah, LGP, at least, at the very least, he seems like someone who runs forward a lot more. Parkhurst, much more of a center back, stays back. And
okay.
That's more what I mean. Maybe not a winger in the sense like
a
Zusi.
More of a bit more attacking than.
Yeah, more like a Koscielny, you know, likes to go forward.
Sure.
Yeah, can come back and track back. Here's the problem. When he's the only one, and when there's no one to stop the attack from coming to him, he has to do it all on his own. That no center back, no matter how good you are, is going to succeed in that situation.
Well, you said succeed, which would be hilarious.
I meant to say succeed. No, I mean, he's about to succeed.
Atlanta's going to have to succeed after that if they do more displays like that.
He just declared. He waved the white flag. He's joining Orlando. But he has seceded from Atlanta.
No, look, that first goal was I want to give about 90% of the blame to LGP.
It's not like he fell asleep. He had to do everything.
No, well, look, he's not as fast as Albert Elise. There's obviously so.
No, he was getting washed.
He had the expectation that Guzan, which we'll get to Guzan in a moment, because
had
a nightmare.
I will get to you next.
So, but it looked like the communication is not there yet, and the chemistry is not there yet defensively.
It's almost as if him and Guzan speak a different language.
but that's only. A conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Again, I can't prove that.
But, Pires thought that Guzan was going to get the ball. He thought he was going to get the ball. And then he also realized, oh, I'm a very slow player. And Albert Elise is insanely faster than me.
I'm sure at one moment he was like, why is that figure moving so quickly towards me? It seems to be getting bigger at a faster pace than
I mean, it looked unfair how when like watching that foot race.
Yeah.
But Pires, he thought Guzan was going to go for the ball, which he wasn't. He wasn't even near it.
No.
It was just a bad, just poor communication and a bad expectation that the goalkeeper was going to get it. But at least, good on him, beat Pires. Pires gets just bodied, falls down on the ground, and basically does a cross for a tap-in for Andrew Wenger. So, is it Wenger or
it is Wenger.
Andrew Wenger out.
Yeah, anyway. Wenger out. put your Wenger back in, buddy.
No, but he looked great.
I mean, here's the thing about the difference between what Wilmer Cabrera did versus what Tata Martino did is Wilmer Cabrera didn't bring out the biggest names in the sport, which Tata Martino kind of did other than Barco, who's injured.
But also, I mean, the Dynamo can't afford
what I'm saying is he didn't field a bunch of big names like Tata did. But what he did field is a solidified team.
They are a team. And they're young and they're incredibly athletic. And you saw that when with how bad Atlanta looked defensively. In the second goal, Philip Senderos, your Arsenal man, scores his first MLS goal, right? And
does a knee slide in the middle of the pitch.
All right, little Thierry Henry style.
A little disrespectful.
But again, just a poor marking. I think it was Lorenowitz that missed on that. And Lorenowitz, another one, looked like he was terrible.
They were just getting overpowered. I mean, Albert Elise, Manotas, Kyoto, that's a lot for any four defenders to deal with.
Yeah.
Never mind four defenders that aren't used to playing with each other and have no one covering them.
We need to do that still.
I don't know why it came out. It just felt like it at that moment.
It's 2018. I mean, what are we doing?
Press play. There's just no... I feel bad because this reminds me of when it was Koscielny and Vermaelen back in the day, and everyone's like, they both suck. And it wasn't. It's that, you know, Koscielny would look over and be like, where'd he go? And Vermaelen would be all the way gone. I'm like, wait, none of us are back there?
Yeah.
For center backs, you have to be the right pair. Look at how much the game changed. Granted, not a ton on the scoreline, but look how much the gameplay changed the moment Parkhurst came out.
So LGP got hurt. He has I was talking to Kelly Francis of Mounts of the South podcast.
Hip contusion.
Hip contusion. And so we don't know when he's coming back, but he got hurt and there was a delay. Then he came back in the game and got hurt immediately again, which is like, it's one of those like, dude, you should have just left the first time because now it's worse than before. But Parkhurst came in and added I think they still gave
he
up one other goal.
Down.
But he's a good center back, and he was a captain often for the team. I don't know why Lorenowitz gets the start over Parkhurst.
Nobody knows. Only Tata Martino knows that answer.
Yeah.
The rest of us were like, wait, why isn't Parkhurst out there?
Really, the third goal was the one to me that made Lorenowitz look. It solidified gave me the answer, like he shouldn't have started at center back or he probably shouldn't have started the game because it was the one with the Manotas goal with the great like sort of 1-2 and at least put that great ball to Manotas.
Yeah.
But that play on that third goal, there are five defenders that close in on Elise. And Lorenowitz is the first one. Yeah. He looks like he's playing defensive mid while he's a center back and then forgets.
Which is why I think he needs to be moved up and give Parkhurst an LGP.
Well, look, I think the concern, I think, you know, Lorenowitz is a taller player, maybe he's taller than Parkhurst. Yeah. So given like the attacking options that Houston had, I think Tata's mentality was like, I'll just get a more, just a bigger, more athletic player.
No, I think you get, I mean, I'm not telling Tata Martino what to do.
I feel like you're about to tell Tata.
Buddy, why don't you sit down, my G, and let me give you an example of
Siéntate,
how to actually.
Siéntate, señor.
Mira, déjame explicarte lo que tiene que pasar, porque lo que tú estás haciendo allá afuera, ay, Dios mío. Esta gente quiere vender los tickets, los boletas. I think you have to not care about the height advantage / disadvantage. Because
sure,
you have to still stop the ball at their feet before you worry about the head. And if it's something like a set piece or whatever, Lorenowitz could just slide back.
Maybe. It really was.
Go get yourself a six. I know it's
you know hard. You know who's number six out there? Darlington Nagbe. So they technically have one.
He's number seven. Bye-bye is his number. Darlington Nagbe actually was quoted as saying, what did you guys do out there? I look bad. Yo, the whole first half, his name didn't get called once.
What do you mean, whose name? Oh, like Nagbe?
Yeah, the announcers barely said his name. What was he doing out there?
He wasn't doing anything. I mean, they had so after the second goal, they were just so disheartened that it looked really bad. And
it didn't look good.
There was a just a lack of any real belief that they were going to make any real difference. They were giving up so many incredible chances to Houston, and there was nothing they could do. Look, Escobar, also new player, not that he looked – I don't want to say he looked bad, but there is a clearly – you know, this preseason, they did not work on, like, getting that defensive communication ready. Because it looked like it was four defenders. It was like an all-star game, you know? Like, mm-hmm. we don't know where they're going to be. We don't know how to keep a line.
Maybe they were told this was still a preseason game. You know, they were like, whatever, it doesn't count.
Just a shame. And, again, even though Houston was so dominant, Atlanta did have a couple chances. Amidon
hitting posts.
Hitting posts. Missing clear chances. They at that point they were already down four. And then the hilarious thing, when they were down three, and then they added 7 minutes of stoppage time because of the delays. Just 7 minutes.
And I'm like, this is enough time for them to score one more, and they did.
And they did exactly that. And that was the fourth goal was Guzan tapping it right back into the box.
At least he got an assist. Right? At least, I wouldn't put him in fantasy.
He was just like, all right, look, I got you. I know. Yeah. I know you've been having a little bit of a tough time. I've been stopping some shots, and I feel bad.
I know. I feel bad. I got in the way of that last one.
So let me just set one up right for you. Incredible. Inexplicable.
Unacceptable. And the worst part is that Atlanta was so bad that they stole the shining moment from Giassi Sardes. This was supposed to be Giassi Sardes's weekend, and no one's talking about him.
Because he scored a goal?
Yeah, because he scored a goal. He's back. I mean, look, you and I could score tap-ins.
I feel like you're the only person who expected Giassi Sardes to...
To fail?
No, not to that you had this expectation. You called it Giassi Sardes weekend. I feel like that's a lot.
This should have been after he scored. Okay. And the way Columbus looked.
Columbus
against the best team in the continent.
The treble winner.
Or maybe not the continent, because of Mexico, but you know, outside of Mexico.
Okay.
The best team in America and in Canada, in United States of America.
Yeah, I don't
Canada.
Know what's going on. You need to go back to like your geography class.
I feel like other words are just trying to sneak out of my mouth.
Do you know where Mexico is? Yeah.
I knew they were in North America. I'm trying to figure out. How about this? In the North America above the wall, they are the best team. And they looked childish.
I think that's a overstatement.
Welcome to the show, Christian.
To say childish, but I
look like children among men.
Disagree. I think Columbus just they played them twice in the playoffs. That was the last time they played them. Toronto is in the middle of a CCL game.
Columbus gave them that work too in the playoffs.
Yeah, but Toronto. They're in the middle of their CCL season.
Yeah, and who did they start?
They had pretty
much the top 11. They've been playing competitive games longer than yes. Columbus. What are you talking about? You're crazy.
But it doesn't suggest.
Don't you also take this away from Giannis?
But who's a little fresher? That's all I'm saying. Columbus had a game plan, and they knew that
a
Toronto.
A little fresher, other than the Javinko hitting the post, they look like trash.
All right. Well, trying to change your mind?
I like this a catchy dude. But here's the problem. Remember how successful Toronto was with the 3-5-2?
Okay.
They come out with these four defenders with the 4-4-2 diamond?
All right. I mean, they didn't.
I know they totally won the MLS Cup with that, but that's because no one saw it coming.
In the second half, they looked pretty good offensively.
Getting it going again. Look, I'm not saying Toronto's trash. I'm not saying Toronto's not going to recover. I'm not saying Atlanta's not going to be able to recover from this.
But
Columbus looked like a world beater. I would have told you one of these teams won the MLS, won the treble last year, you would have not thought it was Toronto watching that game.
I agree with you.
Aha!
Okay, well, all right, you got that one, Alexis.
Aha!
You get that hypothetical scenario.
Well, you've been gallant.
No, but at the very least, Columbus, what I did like was, I was concerned given the fact that they obviously lost Ola Kamara and lost Justin Miram.
They looked better without them.
And I think
Santos, it's, baby.
It says a lot about the players. I forgot the exact players that they replaced them with, but they did.
They replaced them with more game time, but Justin Miram, more presence the, for
Higuain.
But the main issue is that Justin Merriam was not the most athletic of players, and they replaced him.
But incredible, though. He was incredible.
Look, it's this guy.
The blonde dude, Martinez.
Christian Martinez. Christian Martinez, right? There's a couple new Christians in the league.
Yeah, a couple CHs, a couple CRs.
Yeah, we're very excited.
This is all
Christians always play well in soccer.
Still no Alexis out there.
Not one. So Christian Martinez is a good replacement for Merriam, a lot faster.
Yeah.
And just more of a threat, like on the wing, right?
Yeah.
So. But the two goals that they did score were just like the chemistry that Columbus is at now. And I said it when they played Atlanta, they looked really, really good.
They are going to break the pivot in a camera because they are pinging that ball back and forth at a level that you don't see very often in a league like MLS. And I'm not saying that, look, I think Atlanta United did that last year and they still have a chance to do it again. But watching Columbus play, it says to me, like, we don't give Berhalter enough credit.
I agree.
I mean, he lost one of the top scorers in the league last year, and he replaced him with a guy who was turned into a right back. And that gentleman scored the first week. The man who the only meme ever created about him was about how bad his first touch is.
Yeah.
That man looked incredible out there, and
he looks good in that in the yellow kit.
It matches the hair.
And now it's all fitting.
It's all working out for him. You know, he likes to move, so get ready next year again. But you look at someone like Azardes, and you look at someone like an Ola Kamara. Ola Kamara scored a bunch of tap-ins. He was a lot like Nemanja Nikolic. A lot of his goals came from very close to the goal. Right? You look at someone like Azardes. You got a bad first touch, buddy. I mean, just aim it. Doesn't matter how soft of a touch.
Yeah.
Just aim it in the goal. You're going to score a ton. The Berhalter has a system that if he had just a bit more money, I guarantee you, someone like a Berhalter would have been able to win one or two in these last three or four years.
Berhalter needs to go to more galas.
God. You got to get there. He walks into that locker room and he's like, this isn't a gala.
Gentlemen,
I'm looking around at all of you. And I see some passionate football players, some soccer players. I see people who care. I see family men, okay? I see people who love their children. They'll love their mothers, love their families. But this ain't a gala.
This ain't a gala, guys.
So, I mean, I can get you out of the playoffs. But you think you're getting to MLS Cup? Not like this.
But how about that goal from Zardes, right? The second goal. Pedro Santos, that ball.
That pass was...
I mean,
juicy.
Juicy.
Was it wet?
Every time I hear juicy, I always think of Matt Morano. That old joke. Do you know Matt Morano's a comedian in New York, and he
very funny.
He has this.
Was it about the pants that say juicy on the back?
No. It's about he was ordering like a burger, and like the waitress was Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
And he's Italian, and he does a great impression of her.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Oh, you want it juicy?"
Yeah.
It makes me laugh every time I hear it. But it was quite a juicy pass.
Yeah. It was like when I saw the pass, I was like, oh, if I was a defender, I'd take this dude out right after they celebrate this goal.
Yeah, it's like when the quarterback takes out the lineman when they didn't get sacked all game. Yeah, you got to take him out because they did all the dirty work.
Yeah.
Absolutely great pass and the composure of Azardes, who we expect very little from. To put that away very comfortably on one touch.
Which do you think that helped? Do you think it helped him that he went somewhere and people were like, we have zero expectation for you?
I think so. And also it's a smaller market. And it's about to be an even smaller
but he's
market.
From, he's from like, oh my God. Yeah.
We're going
to
talk
about to become a no market.
There's some Save the Crew updates that we should talk about.
Yeah, there
very
is
quick,
a lawsuit
quick.
Happening. But I think he's from Los Angeles, or at least just outside of Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't necessarily know that a smaller market helped him. I mean, he's used to that type of pressure. Maybe you're right. I mean, I have zero evidence to prove otherwise.
Finally, I think for him, because he was sort of like the golden boy little bit in L.A.
He was the academy guy.
Yeah. So now it's he got like, he got a little punch on the chin. Just being like, yo, you're not what you thought you were. So he has to prove everybody wrong this time.
You still can be. And again, first game of the year.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to walk over and say this is it. This is exactly who they are. They're going to be amazing. But They look, I mean, they look great at the end of last year.
Columbus looked, and again, defensively.
Will Trapp looks great.
Yeah. They look comfortable. And there's not many outside of the two changes of those two players that left. Look, they brought in kind of like younger guys. So I think Columbus is going to be all right this season, and they might be a bit of a threat. I know I did mention that they might take it, remember last week?
Mm-hmm. And I made fun of you.
And you made fun of me. And now all of a sudden. Let me have this, Alexis.
Well, I want everyone to know that even if they do make it to MLS Cup, I'm still going to make fun of them, and I'll claim I said it first, okay? So,
all right, let's get to remember, I was not optimistic about the team that plays in the Bronx.
And you were wrong about that. I was right.
I was wrong, and how I'm so happy I was wrong.
Oh my God.
Because
although there were moments where I'm like, this is not, well, this is not looking good.
I mean, like that's every soccer game. Right?
No, I think there were moments where I'm like, none of these players, we're talking about NYCFC over at in Sporting Kansas City. There were moments where I at least had to remind myself, and it was an away game for NYCFC, because there were moments where they looked like they weren't sure who was supposed to go where. But I want to say, first, round of applause for the man who we gave a nickname to, but no one else would.
Yeah.
We believed in him. No one else did other than the coaches and the people who signed him.
And maybe his parents. Also.
Yeah, maybe his parents. His
dad follows us on Twitter.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And the man who's been on this podcast, and we nicknamed him Sweatinho. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Sweat.
Ben Sweat.
What a gorgeous, what a Santos-esque pass.
Yeah. I mean, he really brought it. I mean, look, just the fact that he got the starting spot over Matarrita.
Let you know something's happening.
It's a big deal.
And Sweat is good, man.
He really, really is. He look, the play, I mean, if you haven't seen it, watch the highlights for this game. But it a great game of all. Sporting Kansas City in the first, I want to say about 25 minutes, looked like they were probably going to get the first goal.
Yeah, they've got real pieces, and there's zero reason for anyone to distrust Peter Vermes. The guy's incredible, and he always gets his team going, even though I'm not sure that they have... I'm not sure that, you know, what's his name? Rubio, right?
Rubio.
Rubio. They're center forward. Who's their guy up front?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
The guy that they brought in, I'm not sure that that's the guy that's going to... They brought him in like 2 years ago. What's his name?
Rubio. Yeah, Diego Rubio.
Diego Rubio.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's the guy that's going to be able to score the goals that Dom Dwyer was scoring.
Okay.
But they're another one with like a system. They have like a system where people sort of... are able to sort of flourish inside of it versus having to sort of take it on their own. I'm not sure NYCFC has a system. So at first, I was a little worried. But boy, that all went away.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say they don't have a system, but it's definitely a lot more free-flowing than a lot of other teams for NYCFC.
NYCFC doesn't have a... I mean, they certainly have like the sort of little the triangles they play coming out of the back, which are a little annoying because they come very predictable. At least for us, where we sit at the stadium, you know, we pretty much sit where like Sweat is. We would be able to see Sweat from where we are, and you know, you see the same formation and the same play over and over. But when it gets to the final third, is what I'm talking about. It seems like Villa has to do something incredible in order for them to score.
Yes, and he sort of did for their first goal, but he was on one on one with Icopara. And there were a couple people commenting on, they were sort of saying that Icopara wasn't playing Villa like strong enough. I know that I saw that there was a tweet from somebody tweeted to Andrew Wiebe of Extra Time Radio about Icopara, saying like if he's a USMNT defender and he can't like hold a 36-year-old forward. And then what's his name from Jebrowski? Remember the Jebrowski first season of NYCFC, the wing back. He tweeted at Andrew saying I had to defend against him and Icopara did the best he could, because if he let Villa go right, it would have gone to the top right corner. So
there's nothing you can really do there. I mean, the guy's top scorer in Spain's history. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't matter how old he is. He's still very, very good and incredibly accurate. And if you give him any space, he will take a shot and it will be on goal.
And he is also a very youthful player. Like, he's not someone who plays like a 35-year-old.
Oh, not at all.
He seems like he has at least another 2 years left in his legs. I mean, at least at this point of the season.
Yeah, I did. Overall, I liked that first goal was impressive because he got by Acopar. Got a great cross in for little Maxi Morales, and as an NYCFC fan, obviously that first goal and to do it that well made me feel optimistic, because I'm like, this is what the team's gonna look like. I'm all right with this, and seeing how V was playing in this new season, and Jack Harrison leaving. What what's going to be sort of expected of Villa going forward? I felt a little bit more like there's a little less pressure on Villa this time, and especially with how good some of the other players were playing. I thought Rodney Wallace played very well. I thought Jesus Medina was great too.
Jesus Medina was awesome.
Medina doesn't have the one. I've seen one game. I've seen and then some of the preseason, but he doesn't look as strong one on one as Jack Harrison did. But
Jack Harrison also looked like he was more aggressive on one-on-one situations.
Yes. But
I think Medina has better ball control in those situations, but he doesn't have...
He's like a more patient player.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you sort of... One of the things that I think frustrates me watching NYCFC play in the final third is it seems a lot of people stand in a position they were told to stand in when certain players have the ball.
Yeah.
Versus where if you watch Paraguayan games... people are sort of making runs and making movements, getting into spaces. Spaces are more important versus, well, I was told to be at this part of the field. So, yeah. Find me. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Ben Sweat a little bit, right? Because that play, that second goal for Jesus Medina, getting him his first goal of the year, of his first MLS goal, was really just beauty, and right, and we're not sort of used to seeing. I'm not gonna say we're not used to it, but that was the most I'd argue the best like team goal coming from the back, like starting. It started from Morales to Wallace to a pass to Herrera. That back flicks.
Herrera's running opposite the direction you want to attack.
He's running away from goal.
Yeah, and he sort of just steps over the ball and hits with his back heel, so the ball has more propulsion in the direction it's going, but he also angles it slightly so that literally you could see Sweat was like, I should stop this, but there was nothing he can do. He's like, oh, I got to chase it down.
But it's interesting because I think at that moment I started seeing like the Patrick Vieira system, right? Because Rodney Wallace was basically at the left back position.
Yeah.
And Ben Sweat, who is, it's a counter. So instead of getting behind Wallace, what he does is
he runs into the available space that Wallace left open.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was just a brilliant decision because Ben Sweat started running on that play as soon as Maxi passed the ball to Rodney Wallace.
Right, so you're not watching that if you're just watching the clip. You're watching Maxi make the pass, but Sweat is full steam ahead.
Yeah, he's running as soon as the pass goes to Herrera, and not when he receives the ball.
No,
as soon as it leaves Wallace's hand.
Passed in front of Sweat to get to Herrera, essentially.
Yes, and he ran full speed. Graham Zuzi presumed that Herrera was going to take a touch on the ball and stop the ball. Sweat was like, nah, I'm just going to keep going.
Nah, so I'm going to keep running because I'm sure you're going to find me.
Absolutely great run. But the skill to – I don't even know if – I can't even tell if Ben Sweat is left-footed or right-footed. I'm not really sure.
But he could hit these with his chin. He's that good.
That is – it's that sharp. It's a chiseled chin as well.
Chiseled chin.
But that ball that he – the cross that he put for Jesus Medina was – absolutely perfect.
It was so good that Medina's first touch wasn't as good as it normally is because he was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, what is... I didn't expect...
Who put the ball right here? Is this one of those extra ones that a kid throw around?
Was that an American player that just did that?
Well, look at you.
Just gorgeous, right? And overall, the offensively, especially in the second half, you... NYCFC looked great. I mean,
yeah, they did
just
look
like
great.
In, from after like maybe the 30th minute to about the 75th, beautiful game. I was very, very happy with how they looked. A concern for Sporting Kansas City, they like, I don't want to say it was just NYCFC being like staunch defensively. I don't think that exactly was the case. But
I don't think that'll ever be the case.
There really wasn't much creativity from Sporting Kansas City in this game. I think they still have a little bit to figure out on offensively.
And what I feel bad is that, you know, NYCFC played this well away, which means, you know, SKC played that bad at home. So, I mean, NYCFC is going to play even better at home, you would assume. So I can't wait to see them. And your boy started Sweat in MLS Fantasy.
Good for you. Good for you, Alexis.
I believe in you, Sweating You.
There were a couple interesting things in this game with Maxime Chanel. There were two VAR uses of video review.
The fastest review in
history. I mean, Mark Geiger was...
Everyone, the reporter, the announcer, us, we all were like, nah, son, this is not going to go well.
And yeah, and they very and so the first one was a tackle on Daniel Shalloway that looked from when watching it live, I'm like, oh, this might I don't see how
not
this is gonna go
I
our
was
way.
Like, this is clearly a red.
It's clearly a penalty at the very least. And yeah, he caught the ball. It looked a little clumsy, yeah. But you know, you can't deny that Chanel did get the ball. It to me, it wasn't enough evidence. Sort of like when there's an NFL review where there's like there's not enough conclusive evidence. To me, it wasn't as conclusive to be like, there's no way it was a penalty. So
yeah,
it's weird to make that call. But hey, as a fan, I'm like, you got it right, Marky.
I'm like, yeah,
Mark.
No, it was Mark Geiger. I'm like, you're gonna fuck this up, Mark. I know it. Come on, Geiger. Oh my God, we love you.
We
Mark
love you, Geiger. Get this man a promotion.
There's only one Mark Geiger. One Mark Geiger.
I mean, I really hope he gets a promotion and starts refereeing some World Cup games. I mean, he's really that great.
This guy needs it.
But then another video review.
Chanel gets that red.
Chanel gets that red after getting beat by Jesus Fernandez.
Yeah.
As soon as Fernandez got into the game, I'm like, all right, everybody, the NYCFC players are tired. Chanel's especially. He's coming off an injury from last year. This is not good. And he was getting beat.
Left and right.
Left and right. So, yes, they had Fernandez beat Chanel. Chanel tries to happy. He like clipped his feet. To me, it's a little bit of debate if it was red. Tinnerholm was pretty close. I don't know if it was a red, definitively. But yellow, without a doubt.
It was clearly a yellow, clearly a foul.
Clearly
I mean,
a foul.
If you want to give him a red after taking back a penalty, I'll take it.
I don't know if it was a denial.
What was that, 78th minute? When did that happen again?
78, 79, something like that. 80.
So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we didn't have to, you know, suffer through a penalty. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
But whatever. Tinnerholm was pretty cool. Also, what do you think of Tinnerholm? I thought he played pretty well.
Tinnerholm played really good. Ring, a little sketchy for me.
I completely disagree. Ring was amazing.
Ring had moments where I was like,
Yeah, look, a couple giveaways here and there, but that's expect that from the midfield.
Tinnerholm,
but,
though. But I didn't expect much from Tinnerholm.
Ring had that shot on goal, that crack that Melia saved. So
Melia played great, by the way. I know they're giving him a lot of shit for giving him the two goals, but he still looks good.
So yeah, we're excited about the boys in blue. So we'll see how the rest of the season goes. So
out of everyone else, because I know we're running out of time here, is there any team that other than completely surprised you?
Orlando DC. Was pretty exciting.
Emil Assad looks great with that team, huh?
I mean, he looks great in that kit.
Are you kidding me? Look like you've been there his whole life.
Scored his goal.
Maddox, by the way. Yo, DC, you need to get you a Giazzi's artist.
Oh, we didn't talk about the breakaway that NYCFC had.
Because
there was another
one. Who was that caught up to him? That caught up to
Cristian Lobato.
Another
Cristian.
Wow.
But
that happened twice in this weekend.
Yes, I think it might have been three.
It might be three, actually. Yeah, you're right.
But the play started off terribly from Sporting Kansas City. They had a free kick where I don't even know what they were doing. I mean, it was instead of kicking the ball into the box, I think Zuzi took a touch or somebody took a touch. They tried to like trick NYCFC, and then they make a pass to the middle, loses the ball. Villa's on a breakaway.
He's got, what was it?
Sweat and Morales.
Sweat and Moxley trailing behind him, but Sweat trying to stay with him. Sweat faster than him.
Sweat's faster than him. And
he's trying to stay behind the ball.
He's in an offside position, so he can't get the ball.
And Moxley is behind him. I'm sure everyone's yelling,
Someone's behind you. Pass us the ball. Just leave it. Leave it, and Moxie would hit it.
I honestly think nobody was asking for the ball because Villa, 9 times out of 10, will be a goal. You don't. It's so rare that he gets a chance like that. And
some dude, you know, is preparing for the World Cup and did a little bit of blow and was able to catch him because what's his name? Lobato?
Christian Lobato Jr.
Lobato Jr. I'm kidding. Hilarious. John Sakata caught up to him. Christian Lobato found him and then slid, and Melia jumped up and was like, "Yeah, baby, that's what you do."
Yeah.
I thought he was going to throw him into the air. But he was so happy.
To me, a little debatable because he cleared the ball. Great play on Lobato, right? But the ball went out, and then the referee called for halftime, which, I mean, shouldn't it be a corner kick?
Maybe there wasn't enough time.
I don't know. It seems like a weird decision to end the half. It was interesting. And again, so in Orlando, D.C., this happened again.
Maddox. One of the fastest guys in the league.
Stupid fast.
Yo. Stupid fast, apparently.
And there was another breakaway, and he got caught up to—
almost the exact same play.
It looked exactly like by Mohamed El Mounir.
Mohamed, which, by the way, they were playing with 10 men. So yes, he was gassed.
Very much.
And they, you know, I forgot who's I can't remember the keeper for Orlando. Like
Bendik, Joe Bendik.
Yeah, Bendik tries to pick him up the same way Melia picked up.
Yeah.
And he was just like, leave me on the ground. I need a moment.
But that game was really good, too. DC United scores first. Yumil Asad, does that cross. Nobody gets a touch on it, and it goes right in. But there was a penalty.
Also started Yumil Asad. Thank you.
There was a penalty that was awarded to DC United after handball, and Bendik had a great save on the penalty. Maddox, I feel like Maddox shouldn't be your penalty taker. But
I don't think he should be doing anything besides tap-ins.
It's weird. I don't know what the purpose of this particular lineup was. I feel like I didn't. I feel like I barely recognized DC United. It just seemed like a lot of either new players or NYCFC, the forward. Why am I forgetting?
What are you talking about?
Well, who was the forward for? Patrick Mullins.
Oh, Patrick Mullins.
I'm like, Patrick Mullins should, I feel like,
should
sort of be in the game. And he also played really well towards the end of the last season.
He should be. I think he's a scorer. But, you know, he had some gaps in there, man.
I don't know.
He started with like two hat tricks and then he died out.
Maddox is the starting forward for
DC United. I think they just
want
pace. I honestly think they want pace. I mean, they're doing a 4-1-4-1. They just want pace.
Sure. And Briant also had a good game. He had the great save off the line, former NYCFC product, right? So what was some of the other games?
I think Vancouver.
Vancouver.
What did I talk about? Did I not talk about Davies?
This was.
Did I not talk about Davies? Yes or no question. Did I not talk about Davies?
Also, I don't listen to this show.
Did I not talk about Davies?
No. Yes, you did talk about Davies.
Come on, son. I told you.
He looked good, and the pairing of him and Kai Kamara is gonna be
beautiful. It's gonna be fun to watch.
Dangerous. Davies had the assist on the Kamara header goal, and Kamara just being. Dude, it's scary how he looks like he is as dangerous with his head as he is with his feet. You know what I mean? Like his head, the ball comes off his head. It seems like it's faster than when he kicks it.
He has a massive forehead, and I think that's what does it.
He got his hair pulled back, right? See, he's exposing a lot of forehead. There's a lot of real estate to get a clean ball off of there.
He's got that Gervinho hairline.
But that cross was at like kind of a weird angle, and Kai Kamara had to adjust.
And it was in-swinging.
In-swinging, and he... you needed a protractor to get it at that angle.
Mathematicians are still studying that angle. He literally just squeezed it in the near post.
Yeah, Vancouver. I think there's a lot to be excited about, and even though Montreal, I think they have to figure some stuff out. New coach.
I think one thing they have to figure out is that Mancosu is not should not be your starting forward.
Oh sure,
I know he scored, but.
I feel like now that you know, like Patrice Bernier is gone.
Yeah.
And so he was clearly the captain and provided some sort of defensive stability. I think that's sort of the issue now going forward, like what the team is going to look like, that midfield, because who's
just the, give it to Ignacio.
Okay.
Yeah. Let Piatti run that team.
They were kind of shut down, and Mancuso was like really the only one that was, to me, like any like real threat. But
I just don't think he's good enough at this level. But I think he would be great to be the second striker. I don't know if that he's good on his own. He looked great when Didier Drogba was there.
Sure. A couple of
Philly shocking the world.
Philly.
No one believed in Philly. I didn't believe in Philly.
Well, I think Philly didn't believe in Philly.
Yeah.
Not very high expectations. But seeing David Akam there, I think really makes a huge difference. And we were talking about, you know, with Andy Winner especially, what Akam is going to do for the other players around there. And like we thought, attracted so much attention, gave great, great chances for – it actually, I think, allowed Alejandro Bedoya to play up a little bit more forward than he probably is used to.
Yeah, Alejandro Bedoya, I thought, was going to be a six, and he was up there a little bit. I mean, he was there. There was a really big missed chance by CJ Sapong.
Yeah.
I mean, literally just had to Giazzi Zarda, is it, right in. And it sort of tripled. Wait,
and that is the standard.
Which is now, that's what we're calling
standard
it.
Standard forwards.
And I hope Sapong starts to play well so he can win the Giazzi Zarda's Most Valuable Player Award. But there was moments where I was really excited about seeing how they were playing with Alejandro Bedoya up there.
I did love the moment when Sapong missed that sitter.
Yeah.
And Bedoya, his face.
Turned. He turned his entire body.
He's like, I can't even look at you. I can't even look at you right now.
He just said, I can't even.
Because he literally turned away, put his hands to the sky, and be like, are you serious right now?
He was like, King Akam, could you please tell CJ Sapong? I don't even want to talk to him anymore.
Because talk to me in the second half, maybe.
Maybe. I need to see what you're doing. San Jose looks okay. Was San Jose that good, or Minnesota still this bad?
I think San Jose was that good.
Really?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Who's in?
San Jose.
Got that perm.
Winning this game 3-2. I call him Romeo Santos of Aventura. He got that hair.
He got that. Give me that straight hair. Put every chemical you got.
So, San Jose definitely, Danny Huston and the loss of Marco Ureña to LAFC.
Yeah.
I really feel it's like now more is going to be required of Danny Huston. And you saw it after that first goal, that sort of just like one touch shot outside of the box right past Lamson. Looked incredibly comfortable. Look more of a like a leader than ever before.
I was just about to say, he's looked like he's like saying like, look, this is my team now.
Yeah. The Minnesota, again, that does raise the question. Was Minnesota very bad? And yes, they were, right? But they were still issues with possession, still problems in the midfield. But up front, again, this is another thing. I don't know who was. I think Christian Ramirez did not start this game.
No.
I don't know. Offensively, I don't know what.
Molino's all they have. And he started to take control of that game, but just a little bit, just a tad too late.
Yeah.
And it's a real shame because he has a lot of skill, but he is being wasted up there right now. Last thing I want to say is no one cares about LA Galaxy. You won. Portland, you had nobody out there.
But it's a big concern. I don't know what the hell Portland was doing.
By the way, Portland had only fielded only one U.S. men's national team eligible player.
And that's that makes you sad?
What? I mean, I'm saying, like, damn, son, you got nobody up there?
That's a lot of MLS teams.
The average is 3.5 per team, which is not great. I'm not one of those people that are like, we need to let the Americans play. No, you need to be good
Major League Soccer is...
Sweat will carry us will carry us alone.
Major League Soccer is changing. Especially.
Can I just say something about LAFC? And look, Seattle, I know you were missing a bunch of players. Dempsey didn't play. Morris is out with injury. Osvaldo Alonso's out with injury. Who else wasn't there? Somebody else wasn't there for Seattle. So you guys weren't at 100%.
Clint Dempsey was out for Seattle. You said that right. Okay.
But I want to say right now, aquí vienen los uruguayos.
Really?
Che, mira, vienen los uruguayos. The first goal on the last day he's a teenager for LAFC's entire team. Ladies and gentlemen, your former captain of Peñarol,
Come on, everybody, let me hear it.
You know they can't. We can't hear them, right?
No, they're listening. I hear people going crazy right now. Diego Rossi. Yeah, I hope you are drinking amate right now.
He did.
And you are relaxing and eating none but grilled meats on a parrilla.
He did look. He did look good. And
him and Vela together.
Yeah.
Have they been best friends forever?
But that look, I'll give LAFC the credit on that win. That goal, especially for such a young player in his first Major League Soccer game, to Vela, you sort of expect that kind of a pass. He's that good.
It's a Meg Roman Torres on it.
That happened.
He Megs Roman Torres
for that
pass.
Goal. Oh, okay. 100%. Okay. I thought it was a different play. But the goal, the pass from Vela, you expect that. But Rossi, who had a defender on him and was still able to take that shot and take that shot so well. Stefan Fry is not an easy keeper to get by.
Also, he curled it and put it in the only position Stefan Fry couldn't get it in.
Yeah, but all credit, LAFC, props to you guys. Look great. But
Diego Rossi, this is your team, baby.
More than anything, Seattle lost this game more than LAFC won this game.
Well, look, LAFC has no players, basically.
Look, they
and I don't think they know what to do with Phil.
They held on, and it takes a lot to do that. Laurent Simon was great. Tyler Miller.
Laurent Simon was running from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen.
Tyler Miller
the entire time.
Was incredible, and the reason LAFC got those 3 points. But really, the Sounders had so many shots. They had so much more of the ball. They had they were incredibly dominant. I'm not going to say dominant, but they were they had sitters. That Will Bruin sitter that he missed is, again, inexcusable.
Inexcusable. There were moments where LAFC could have been blown out of this game completely.
Yes.
What I just want to say is that moment or the play. If you're an LAFC fan, this might not be the best season for you. You might not have a lot to root for. But right now, all of you should be focusing on how well Vela and Diego Rossi play together, because they are magical together, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah. So I think the fun thing was, speaking of LAFC and LA Galaxy, there was a hilarious moment. It was a video for the LA Galaxy game against the Timbers. There was three LAFC fans that went to the LA Galaxy game against Portland. They were in Carson in LAFC gear.
Just sitting there.
And while people were celebrating goals, they were just sitting there.
Were they in the wrong stadium, or they were just like, no, I'm coming here to hate?
It really felt like that's what it was. I mean, just being like, yo, I'm just checking out these digs so when our away game is is here. It was funny, and somebody from LAFC, I think Tucson, their supporters group in Tucson, Arizona, were like, yo, give because I retweeted. I'm like, yo, this is the gulliest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, you just show up and scowl the whole time, meme mug everybody.
So they were like, send them a gulliest shirt. And I'm like, yo, if you find these guys,
let me know who they are. We might send them a shirt.
Yo, we'll send them a shirt. Who are these three dudes that keeping it straight at Gully and Carson?
And they were just sitting looking at their phones. Could not be any less entertained by everyone else.
Yo, like, yo, we paid our money.
We do whatever we want.
To meme mug out here, all right?
Yeah. I came here to just do this. It just looked mad disrespectful.
It looks like I'm mad, but I'm actually having the time of my life.
Yeah. This was well worth it. There were some absolutely incredible games this weekend, but this weekend belongs to Jesus Medina, Diego Rossi, Giassi Zardes, Higuain. Who else?
Oh, I don't know who else. Maybe Yamil Asad.
Everybody but Yamil Asad. Everybody but LGP.
Elise and Manotas, man.
Oh, Manotas, Elise.
Everybody.
This was a wonderful first weekend. I can't wait for the rest of it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
MLS Fantasy, we're going to be talking about that more next week.
If this, it's almost a shame that it was this good, because now it set the bar very, very high.
Yeah, it's too good.
So we're gonna have some boring nil-nil games coming.
Yeah, and again, thank you to Luis Robles, and thank you to Medovo for having us.
Yeah, that was super fun.
At your Thought It Up gala.
I wasn't Thought It Up, guys.
It was too thotty.
This guy, he...
Thotty too hotty.
If his wife shows her wrists, he gets, hey, what's going on over here?
First of all, how dare you say she would even think of doing such a thing? No, I'm only kidding. Come on, guys. If you're going to be a thot, be a thot. That's me talking to women who are not my wife. Ladies and gentlemen,
This has been an amazing podcast. This has been an amazing first week of MLS.
Exactly. And also, you know what? I did want to mention, because we're excited about this year and there's a lot of things coming up. We started, if anybody's interested in supporting the Cooligans, but doesn't really, maybe they don't want to buy a shirt, but maybe they just want to like, hey, you know, I'll tip these guys. I'll give them a little bit. We got a Venmo.
We got a Venmo.
If you want a Venmo at Soccer Cooligans, be like, yo, that joke was really funny. I think it's worth $2.50.
You get $2.50right there.
You get $2.50. Just Venmo.
So we get three or four good jokes. We could buy ourselves coffee. It's not a bad gig.
So it might be cool. Might be a nice way to help support the Cooligans.
Yeah.
You know? If you feel
and
free.
All that money goes right back into the Cooligans.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And coffee.
And coffee. Well, we get free coffee here at the station now. So it goes straight into the show.
So that's it, everybody. Thank you again for listening to the show.
Leaves to 5 stars. We're going close.
Yeah, we're at, I believe, 94 reviews.
Oh, there's 60 out there who haven't done it yet. We know it.
It's the quest for 100 iTunes reviews. If you haven't done it, get on. You're listening to the show right now.
Get out there and do it.
Right there. It's on your phone. You don't even have to stop listening to it. You can leave the review while you're listening. Look, we're going to tell you right now what to write because you don't even know what to say. All right. The Cooligans are the greatest podcast I've ever listened to.
And they're so gully that I've now become gully-er because I listen to them.
Exactly. And right now, I am on the New York City subway. I am on the D.C. Metro.
Oh, it's SEPTA.
I'm on MARTA right now.
Yeah.
And
she is not enjoying it.
And I feel like I'm scowling at all the other passengers because that's how gully this show
is making me.
Exactly. So, look, the review's right there. We wrote it for you. Do that immediately. So, again, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!